question is this: how do we get two groups of people to come together? Those that are completely disengaged with what I call their personal physical health status, and those people who are in love with their physical health status and doing something about it. How do we bring them together so that everybody fits into the second category of falling in love with their physical health, lowering their risk of disease, and feeling amazing? We're going to find out in today's episode of The New Science of Physical Health. Everybody, we're back here on episode 153 of the Daily Drop of The New Science of Physical Health. Straight into it today. About 7 to maybe 10 minutes worth of my continuing conversation with Dr. William E. Krause from Duke University in North Carolina in the United States of America. Yesterday was just a little intro. Today we're going to get more specific, as it says in the title here. He talks about, I found this really fascinating, and we'll do a couple more little segments of this one because it's going to become a mini-series, where in the mini-series I do about maybe 3 to 4 episodes that are all about 45 minutes to an hour long. And what we're going to do with this conversation today, Dr. Krause, this preventative cardiologist, world leader, is going to be talking about the impact of physical activity on insulin sensitivity and triglycerides. But this, what's very interesting here, is about, I asked him this question about, you know, what format should exercise take that's going to have the greatest impact? And he said to me that it depends on the condition you're trying to treat. Now, I found this interesting. So listen in and tune in. I'll be back right at the end, but tune in to about the next 7 or 8 minutes, maybe 10 minutes worth of myself and Dr. Krause having this conversation where halfway through he starts sharing, this was really cool, sharing his screen with me from North Carolina and a presentation that he gives in one of his lectures about this topic. All right, here we go, transitioning now to more of my private conversation with Dr. Krause.
Talking about amount, mode, right, and intensity.
Yeah.
There are some health outcomes that are better with lower intensity exercise.
Is that right?
Yes. Glucose control in particular. Triglyceride control.
Yeah.
It's all about amount, and moderate is better than more vigorous. And we think that's because insulin sensitivity and glucose control, 80% of it's in the muscle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the lower intensity you're exercising, the more you're burning fat.
Yes.
And we may actually relieve a fat-related stress in the muscle by exercising at a lower intensity.
So in order to get those impacts, and here's the question I have about that, would the physical activity, regardless of what it is, would it need to be over a longer period of time?
Of course.
Okay.
So, in fact, you know, I can show you. You have a second? Can I show a slide?
I've got as much time as you want. Yeah, absolutely.
Give me sharing responsibilities here.
Yes, share screen. I haven't done that much. One participant can share at a time. Share screen. So how do I advance sharing options? All participants. Here we go.
Excellent. Nice. I like that.
Yep. Does that work?
I'll tell you in a second. MGH talk. I'm just going to pull up the MGH talk I gave the other day. Here we go. Okay. Yep. Got it.
Fantastic.
All right. So here is a study we did. Our first stride study. You see that?
Yep.
Okay. We took a brisk walking group. 13 miles a week equivalent. This is energy. We matched on energy expenditure, right? This is the layman's view. I'll show you the actual exercise physiology.
This is fascinating stuff. Wow. I love it.
Jogging group, same energy expenditure.
Yeah.
And then jogging at like 50% more of the energy expenditure, let's just say.
Yeah.
Okay. And in fact, here's the exercise physiologist view, right? So 40 to 55% peak VO2, 60, 80 kilocalories per week, And the reason they were matched this way is so we could compare intensity.
Yes.
And amount.
Okay. Yeah. The both key factors. Yeah.
Right. And then we brought them in. They went up a 3-month ramp, and then they did steady state at their defined intensity and amount for 6 months.
Yep.
And this is what we saw in fitness, exactly what you would expect. You're comparing intensity in the middle and amount on the right.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So you see the stepwise. We predicted this. This is exactly what we saw. 6%, 13%, 16% increase in cardiorespiratory fitness. This is a wrist lock kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Here's interesting. Here's change in body mass. Right. Okay. So all these look the same. There's inactive on the left, and there's the exercises on the right. The middles are an intensity comparison. The amounts are on the right. And you can see amount rules, right? It's all how much you do, not the intensity you do, which is right. Calories in, calories out, the whole thing. This didn't surprise anybody. This is what surprised us. This is insulin sensitivity.
Yeah.
With an intravenous glucose tolerance test. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
It's frequently absolutely. Yep.
Okay. And so the inactives didn't get any worse.
No.
But look, compare the intensities. Same amount.
Wow.
Yeah. And in fact, you have to do 50% more energy expenditure at the vigorous to get the same effect with the moderate.
Wow.
So this was hard. People didn't believe this, even though we had data. So we did the triglycerides, right? They're right here. And the triglycerides, which are also an insulin sensitivity measure, except in adipose.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Looks exactly the inverse of what you see with the muscle insulin sensitivity.
Wow.
So we believe this is true, and we proved it again in our STRIDE prediabetes study.
Wow.
So this is why I say, you know, when you talk about, does intensity matter? It absolutely does. Is it always the direction you think? The answer is no.
Yeah. Here's the question I've got from that, because that's taken my mind in a different direction. So I've been reading, I've met with, when I was in Nashville in 2018, I got the incredible opportunity to spend an hour with Dr. Kenneth Cooper. Dr. Barry A. Franklin, I've spent time with over at Wayne State, Michigan. A whole bunch of guys over there.
They're all intensity guys, but on the high intensity.
Yes. So here's the question I have.
These are the people I'm trying to convince otherwise, and I have a hard time.
This is what fascinates me as an educator. When you look at things like, changes in stroke volume, cardiac output, fibrosis risk, all those, endothelial dysfunction, does that mean then, or is there possible permutations that incorporating this lower dose response over time, throughout your 7-day cycle, is that going to help? So blood sugar, for example, and triglycerides, that helps to kind of make endothelial function worse. Is that right? So blood sugar and triglycerides.
Yes, especially over the long term. You get glycation of the interstitial tissues. You get a glycation of the medial part of the vessel, and it hardens them.
Yep.
And this is why when you do a study trying to lower blood pressure in people who've had diabetes for 20 years, lower is not necessarily better.
Right.
Because you're now vascularly depleting them, right? You're trying to dilate a vessel that's stiff.
Yeah.
And they don't do as well, right?
Yeah.
So, what we always assume is true is not always true.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something else. Let me show you another piece of data.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So to go to the clinical side, by the way, even though I've spent two rounds with the U.S. Physical Activity Guidelines with all the data and the epidemiology and the relationship of moderate to vigorous physical activity and the guidelines that say 150 minutes of whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't teach that to a patient.
Yeah.
It's too complicated.
We're going to leave Dr. Krauss there, but I want to pick up just as we finish off here and crystallize or clarify what he said at the end there with his exact words. It's too complicated. What you have to understand about Dr. Krauss, in the United States of America, just like here in Australia, they have physical activity guidelines that are produced by the CDC, and I think the American Heart Association has input into that. Dr. Krauss is one of the chief doctors in the USA who sits on the committee to help construct the guidelines. He's one of the people that does that. Very rarely will you get to hear from someone of his, standing in the medical community. And what he's saying there, after having sat on these committees and being participating as one of the committee members in the construction of these guidelines, what he's saying is that it's too hard to teach people the guidelines of the 150 minutes and 300 minutes or 75 minutes, because here's what he's saying, because it's difficult to work out what's moderate for one person compared to another person, compared to another person. And you look across the board and it's millions of people. What's moderate for millions of people is different for every single one. Which brings me back to the work of Professor Wisloff over in Norway, where he told me heart rate is the accepted standard, your heart rate pattern, your personal heart rate pattern, the accepted standard that's the reflection of your body's response to physical activity. So more on that. Now, there are some differences between what Dr. Krauss says and what Dr. Wisloff says. But I've got some more than I interpretation of what I'm going to have it as an educator. But it's very interesting about what he says about the guidelines for the number of minutes of physical activity per week. Because I've long held the point of view that he's just mentioned, he just outright said that it's too hard to teach a patient. I've long held that view. More on what I think is right in tomorrow's episode. We'll bring more of that out there. So we'll be coming back tomorrow with a bit more of Dr. Krauss, some other interesting things that pick up from that theme just there. And I can't wait to share with you tomorrow. Hope you're having a great day. If you're at the end of it, you had a great day. Or if you're about to start your day, wherever you are in the world, remember this show is listened to now in 75 countries, over 820 cities, and it's continuing to grow. So thank you for everybody for tuning into this. And we've got more of the new science of physical health tomorrow. All right, everybody, bye for now.